Welcome. Make yourselves comfortable. Have some tea if you like. Oh, congratulations on managing to come and sit on your ass and do no thing. So my root teacher used to say that meditation was great, the best exercise. So how is it the best exercise? It's the best exercise because it's pre-exercise. It's pre-doing. It's the best exercise because, yes, you're developing focus and concentration, just like other forms of exercise give you that opportunity to learn how to focus. But insight is independent of all that. Insight into what is this, what's happening in your life, and examining, let's say, your habit energy. Let's suppose you go for a walk every day, and it's become a good habit, right? So most exercise we think of in terms of it's a habit that we form, and we call it a good habit because we benefit from it. This form of exercise gives us insight into whether that form of exercise that I just mentioned is actually benefiting us or not. Because our awareness now is expanded beyond the unconscious, the habitual energy of just doing something habitually over and over again. So when you wonder, why is my life like this? You don't have to look too far. When you live in the still point of insight into just what this is, you can change things. You have the freedom to say, I'm going to take a different route today instead of this one that I've always taken. And see what happens. We say that our sitting practice is getting to know ourselves. So what is that? It's insight into what is this. It can be little things or it can be big things. It can be big things in the sense that we say this is life-changing. But as you become a practitioner and you do this over and over and over again, you learn how much this really impacts your life. It seems like such a little thing to sit on your ass and do no thing. But it's that opportunity to just, okay, here I am with this. What am I doing with it? How am I doing? The littlest things lead to a better life. Every time you make a little change in a direction that is more beneficial to you and those around you, you can recognize, for example, that your grumpiness has nothing to do with your relationship with your family, but you're taking it out on them. You can recognize that, and then you can say, okay, I own this. This is my thing, and I'm projecting, and I don't need to do that. Now, I'm explaining it, you know, in with all these words, but this can be an instantaneous, just like this, I see it, and it's done. It's not about going through a lengthy intellectual explanation to yourself about what's happening. Drop the intellect, just pay attention to what is happening right now. And if it needs to change, you change it. Because now you have the freedom. You recognize that habit energy, because of our sitting practice and these little changes that we keep making day after day after day because we sit, are improving the quality of our life. Now we can reach a little further and a little deeper and just keep going down that bodhisattva path until eventually we recognize our original nature, that we are in fact already pure and perfect just the way we are. We're not our habit and energy. We're not these things we've created, obstacles and situations that create chaos in our lives. We're not that. We can change those things. What can't we change? What we already are. We can rest in that. We can be still in that. We can share that. You can call it love, you can call it God, you can call it whatever you want, I don't care. Those are just labels. But eventually, in our sitting practice, we get in touch with just this. And what is just this? Everything. Just this. We're all connected. There's no separation here. All these things, these thoughts, these ideas of how things are just that. There are just ideas and thoughts about how things are. You know, it's that whole thing about one day at a time. Well, it's really more like one moment at a time. Just do what you can in this moment and see what happens. If you can be a little bit better in this moment in terms of how you deal with things, the next moment will be different. It will no longer follow that same routine. That's what we do when we sit, you know, it's a little bit at a time, moment by moment, breath by breath. And yet we still have old age, sickness, and death. No suffering and no end to suffering. How do we resolve this? Breath by breath, moment by moment. Even the way we would like things to be in the next moment, they're not the same. If only this would happen, my life would be better. Maybe, maybe not. We were talking a little bit earlier about marriages. You know, I've been married 3 times now. Third time's the charm. It's not that it doesn't have issues. I mean, believe me, every relationship always has something to deal with because that's it, you know, mirror reflecting back and forth. So, but in the first two, I was pretty unaware of my habit energy. I was pretty unaware of my projections and how I was going through life. And there's deep-seated things, you see. There are things that are so deep in our subconscious now that we don't recognize them in terms of them actually just being habit energy. The way we've, you know, defined ourselves. Because you still have to deal with whatever you got going on here. Don't define yourself. What is this? I'm not suggesting that it's easy, but one moment to the next moment, to the next moment, when you get up from here and you walk out of here, maybe your day will go a little better. Just take that, you know, just take it, accept it. See what happens the next day. Okay? End of the day, you're perfect just the way you are, so. I like to refer to life as a journey and an adventure. You know, it's not something to someplace where it's not a thing where you get somewhere. Because wherever you get, there's always someplace else to get. Every horizon, there's another one. You work real hard towards something and then you discover it's really not what you wanted in the first place. I'm laughing. But it's a painful laugh, right? It's laughing because I don't know what else to do, right? And the other thing about it all is that we're all unique. So we're all like these jewels, these multifaceted jewels. And what we contribute to the world, we don't really know. That's beyond our ability to understand. Recently, I've been looking at like early childhood kind of experiences and growing up. And maybe it's my age, I don't know, you know, coming closer to the end of it all. I see it all as the fertilizer for my life. It's all what got me to where I am today. And so, yeah, some of it was really painful, but I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for all of that. You know, for a while there, I was going around comparing myself. I think it's part of our culture because it constantly is this commercialization of things gets us to always compare ourselves to somebody and something, you know, so it kind of forces that on you, you know. Well, maybe if I just had a bigger truck, you know, more muscles, whatever, skinnier. So I would compare myself to what other people's lives were. Big mistake. Big mistake. You can't do that. You have to appreciate the uniqueness of your own life. It's special. Appreciate it. You've only got one. When it's gone, it's gone. You can't be somebody else. That's a fool's errand. Get to know who you are. That's the path to awakening. Anybody have anything they would like to talk about today? It's okay, whatever it is, doesn't matter.
You know, it's when you get attached, and I see more of that being shared here about attachments and getting attached to certain things along this journey. If I'm open to it, I'll be able to enjoy different aspects of it or different places. Mm-hmm. The change that takes place from attachment to enjoying the journey and being comfortable wherever we go, you know, has some like a push and pull to it. And I guess that's the thing is that, you know, getting, being in a place where I can, you know, you talked about the unconscious sometimes presents, you know, different feelings that you have. And mm-hmm. I think for me, it's just so important to get into this place, sitting your ass and doing nothing. It's kind of like to be able to be more comfortable with that transition and just work at trying to enjoy the journey. And a lot of times, like you said, I mean, it's I don't have to analyze, I don't have to get into that and kind of dissect it and break it down. It's just, it is what it is, and just find that peace with it and then move on.
Yeah, so being comfortable with ourselves can be really difficult because of our attachments. We think things should be a certain way in order for us to be comfortable. But things are never actually comfortable in the sense of a specific solid thing, because nothing is solid, actually. Everything is always changing and moving. So where is that thing that you're comfortable with? Does it exist other than in your mind? So letting go of that, not being attached to the idea that things should be a certain way, opens you up, as you, like you say, to what are the possibilities here. This is where insight can come in. Insight can't work if you're attached to and grasping onto something being a certain way. When you open up, then insight can work. So insight, you know, this is where the light comes in to our lives. It's like, you know, you'll have this aha moment. Oh.
Like sometimes it reveals things that you don't always want to see, but not to judge it either, to just kind of look at it and be like, oh shit, that's messed up, but not judge it either. Right. To just be like, all right.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And just let it be in that light for a second. Examine it without the fragility behind it either.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. Judgment is a big part of it. Because we do that, right? Because that's part of the attachment. We want things to be a certain way or a relationship to be a certain way, then we're passing a judgment on someone not giving me what I want, let's say. And it's not necessarily seeing it as it actually is either when you judge. It could be painful and this might not be the right thing for me. And it's like anger is like that. Anger is just another form, I think. You know, it's fear, it's based on insecurity and the things that are going on that we're not comfortable with. But again, it's that attachment, that clinging to something, all these different, what we call negative emotions, you know, the poisons. Judgment plays a big part in there. But we can't be attached to our judgments. We have to have insight into where they're coming from. Intentions are really interesting because when we're deep into our practice, intention is a big part of it. We don't really know the outcome of things necessarily, but if our intention is based on a clinging to something being a certain way, some understanding that we think we have about something, then we're not open. Yeah, it's a journey.
The idea of, you know, judgment or trying to make sense of things, trying to understand things, and the whole idea of knowing nothing. Anybody who's a Game of Thrones fan, like Jon Snow, there's a line in it, which I didn't really understand at the time, but there's a line that goes on among the characters and says, "You know nothing, Jon Snow." And so I think about it differently now. And I think about it when you're talking about having pain in your life and tragic events. And I've shared before that we've lost some young people in our family recently. Last year, it was very tragically. And I have tried to do mental gymnastics to try to make sense of it. And in the end, I couldn't have been in a place right at the moment of like, I don't know. It sucks. It's not fair. It's not, you know, right. But that's life. That's the nature of life. And I don't have to try to make sense of it. It's just coming to a place of it is what it is. And just not trying so hard to try to understand it and just being at peace. And I also have been reading a book on Tangled. And, you know, one of the person who wrote it talks about when, you know, the idea of when something happens to someone, their idea of why me? And people approach things often, why me? You know? And, you know, his thing was, okay, my turn, you know. And so I ponder on that. I think I've been someone who's really not been a why me, but why not me? That pain, suffering in the world, not me. Those are just some reflections on that. And then I guess just the you know, the sitting part of it. And one of the things that I was feeling like as I was sitting in my monkey mind just going, and I'm thinking, again, trying to make sense of things. It's like just telling myself, like, it's okay. Give your brain a break. Give your mind a rest. You do not need to make sense of it. Just let it be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a gift in there by not trying to make sense of it. Like loss, for example, for me, when I was trying to make sense of my daughter's accident and, you know, the coma and the whole thing. I just was not able to really touch on what she was in my life. It's different. Because one's being in your head and one's being in your heart.
Yeah,
again, not attachment. So you don't be attached to it, the thinking, you know, trying to make sense out of it, whatever. You watch it because it's important to watch it because it gives you clues. As the monkey mind is going, what's it doing? You know, and so you have some insight there. So you can use that. We're really hard on ourselves. So I say approach it with a sense of humor, but I'm not sure that's exactly what I mean. It's really a non-attachment. I remember when Michael, one time who was here, talked about sexual fantasies during meditation. You know, you are not that. You have to kind of remind yourself that's not who you are, you know. Yes, it's your process that you happen to be caught up in the moment, but that's what you're saying, I think. You're saying, you know, just let the monkey mind do its thing without judging it and becoming attached to trying to stop it or make it do something different.
I think the result of practice or a consequence of it is that you're comfortable with that there will be no resolution. You're just comfortable with that.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, good one.
I was also thinking about the concept of comparing ourselves to others and the idea of each jewels, you know, kind of a metaphor, jewels, different facets, and every life moment just kind of creating a different facet in that jewel, and it's constantly changing. And the idea, when you think about it, it's like comparing yourself to others, and I say comparing ourselves to others, it's bigger than that. It's not like, it's like just like what we think we should be at a certain point in our life. This is the things we're supposed to unfold. And when you think about, my thing about what I was thinking about is like, it's used the word foolish. Like, yeah, of course it's foolish. Because how could you compare yourself to somebody else's facets? Because yours are so different and things are constantly unfolding. Or even our vision of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
of what I thought I was going to be, or where we would be in our life, the decisions we would be making, it's constantly changing. So,
what's the term? Quantum boso, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Quantum boso, which is a Korean way of saying the bodhisattva of compassion, Avalokitsvara. Supposedly says this Heart Sutra is the Bodhisattva of compassion. And a more common name is Kuan Yin. So it's common to chant that Quantsam Boso. Quantsam is the Korean version of Kuan Yin, Quantsam Boso. I have this Kuan Yin statue in my backyard. It's about 3 feet tall. It's really beautiful. And my sister-in-law bought a condo on Siesta Key, and the place was totally empty, except in the corner of the guest room was this statue. So I walked in there and I saw that statue, and I looked at her. I said, "What's with this?" She says, "I don't know. You want it?" I said, "Yes." So that's how it ended up in my possession. And I put it in the backyard, and I have one of these solar lights on it. So it's been lit up now for several years since I put that solar light up. Some of the other solar lights around the yard have died for various reasons. But that one is always working and always bright. It's the weirdest thing. It's just like I wake up in the morning, it's still dark, and there's the Bodhisattva of compassion all lit up. I mean, I look out, my backyard looks out over a lake, so it's in the bushes there next to our deck. And just looks back into the house. So it's kind of a wonderful thing, you know, these decorations that we have in our lives, you know. You know, the whole idea of doing things a certain way that create an atmosphere. Buddhists are kind of big into that, creating atmosphere.
Gen Z calls it aesthetic, for certain aesthetic.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.